man from the city who had
Hey, see if that works better. There's this thing called an ID10T switch. It's the idiot switch. I forgot to plug in the microphone this morning, okay? So sorry, there was like 40 other. The water's in the baptistry. That's all I was worried about this morning. So for those of you online, it was Luke chapter 8, 26 through 39. You'll have to read it yourself and catch up. All right? But it was there. You should have seen it. Sorry about that. We were talking about it. The reality is there was a war in heaven. The devil tried to go against God, took a third of the angels with him, and these are what we call demons. They are fallen angels. They are not on the side of good. They are on the side of Satan. They work for him. They are part of his. Now, I don't know what they look like. I don't care. All right, I just know they exist. They're out there, and as with anything, and this is actually our first point, the devil's only goal is to destroy. What does Scripture tell us? The thief came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's purpose. That's his point in this life. That's what he wants to do with everybody out there, whether you're a believer or not. His main job is to destroy your life. And sometimes that's actually by rewarding you greatly. And what I mean by that is because the devil's main goal is to keep you from God. Now, the devil's not all-powerful. The devil's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not God. So he has to use these people that work with him, his little minions. No offense to despicable me. But those demons that serve him. And yes, they do possess people. We've seen it, and people have experienced it all around the globe. It's in Scripture. I believe it happens. I believe it's not something to take lightly. I also believe it's not something to mess with, unless you're very solid and know what Jesus is commanding you to do. But the devil's main goal is to destroy. And if you look at this man's situation, what happened to this guy? This guy had no home. There was nobody with him, no friends, no loved ones around. It was even so bad he had no clothes on. That's losing everything, is it not? You'd even lose a shirt off your back. He was locked up. He was chained. He was put under guard because of the way he was acting, the way the devil was making him behave. The demons were acting out with him. And he was struggling. And you could tell it wasn't normal because he broke those chains that he was shackled with. And got free and ran out. He lived among the dead, among the tombs. And this is where Jesus encounters him. Now, I don't think Jesus ever had an accident. I don't think Jesus got in a boat and just happened to wind up on this shore, do you? I think he traveled there for a purpose, and it was to meet this guy. He knew that guy was going to be there. And there's his disciples all in tow with him. Everybody's watching. And this crazy, wild man, naked, running all out through there, screaming, hollering. What are you to do with us? I bet the disciples were flipping out. I would have been. But not Jesus. His reaction is just so calm. They're yelling at Jesus saying, don't torment us, don't torment us, don't do this, don't do that. What was Jesus' response? What is your name? Now we know who answered. The question will be, who was Jesus talking to? Because I think our second point today is our identity can get wrapped up in our sins. Our identity can get wrapped up in those things that afflict us and keep us down. I have a feeling Jesus was talking to the man. What's your name? But that demon jumped up and answered. How many times in our life are we that way? We do it with our jobs. Ever go someplace and you're introducing yourself to a bunch of people for the first time? That's great. I met somebody the other day for the first time, and I knew the question was coming. You know, we were having just a general conversation. Some language was thrown out, you know, not mine. You know, he was saying a couple of words and, you know, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. I'm so sorry for what I said. You know, it was funny. It always happens. But don't we identify with sometimes what we do? Who we are? Those things that get us down, our identity can be wrapped up in our sins sometimes. had a pastor one time that his favorite saying was, you know, how you doing? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Okay, I get the depth of what you're saying, but if you're saved by grace, you're so much more than a sinner now, aren't you? I mean, you're a child of God. See, Jesus asked the name, but it was the demons that answered. What do people see in our lives? Number three, Jesus had authority over the enemy, and they knew it. This man had many demons. It wasn't one demon. I don't know what it was about this guy that made him so popular with the demons. It's probably like fleas. Once you get one, you can't get, they're everywhere. They multiply like crazy. They sent out some demon signal. Hey, we got a cool place. Why don't you come hang with us? And everybody showed up. I don't know what it was about this guy. Just the name, we are Legion. You know, I mean, you can almost hear it, right? I wish I could do it. Hey, you see it in movies and how they do it with like multiple layers of voices. It like freaks you out. It's really kind of cool. But Legion is many, means many. We got a legion of soldiers, you got a legion of demons. Some passages actually talk about that there were a couple thousand pigs that these demons went into. Thousands of evil spirits tormenting this guy. They knew his authority too, didn't they? As soon as Jesus showed up on the scene, what did they do? They started begging for mercy. Please don't torment us. Jesus, don't torment us. Please don't. Please don't send us to the abyss. That's that bad place. We don't want to go there. Matthew always says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We've been there. We don't like it. That's the place where we go. We get locked up. We don't come back. Don't send us there. Oh, wait, there's pigs. Send us into those. Send us into the pigs. Poor pigs. They were just eating grass, man. They're minding their own business, rooting around out there. Jesus says, okay, go get them. Now, I don't know about you, but the idea of jumping from a human to a pig just does not sound appealing, does it? But that's where they wanted to go, and Jesus said, go. Now, we don't know why the pigs were there. We don't know who owned them. Or why Jesus didn't even seem concerned about any monetary loss of these pigs. Because that's not the important part of this story. Because I'm going to tell you, human life is way more valuable, way more important than any animal, is it not? Now, we all love our pets, don't we? It's true, we do. And I know people that would probably argue that point with me. about human people. No, anyway, but... But it's true. Of course, Jesus is Jewish and pigs are unclean, so a Jewish guy, pigs, yeah, go ahead, whatever. I don't care. To me, I just saw a huge loss of bacon. That's all is lots of bacon just went over the cliff right there. But why the pigs? Well, guess what? There is no mistaking what happened, is there? Now, if somebody came in here acting all crazy, all ripping clothes and throwing people off and tossing Thomas around, you know, because Thomas tried to slow him down or whatever, and I just picked up Thomas, sorry, you know, and had superhuman strength. See, I made you look good. You know, had superhuman strength and all this stuff, and we said, devil, get out of him, and then all of a sudden the guy sat down and got real calm. Now, don't you think somebody in here would go, they made that up, right? We've all seen those faith healers, haven't we, on TV? We've seen those things where they go behind the scenes and like try to trap people. Expose is the word I was looking for. they've seen the staff member who, like right before the service, puts on the bandage and gets the crutch and comes walking out, and my leg's been twisted for years, and Jesus says, be healed, it's straight, and then they run across the stage and everything's great. And it's funny, their leg gets twisted before every city they get to, doesn't it? And I'm not saying they're all that way, because I firmly believe that God heals. I know God still heals today. You could come right here on your deathbed, and Jesus said, get up, and you'll be like, I'm up, walk right out the door, no problem. I believe Jesus does that, can and will still do that. But there are those that will try to get over. But make no mistake about it, if this man had thousands of demons, and Jesus just said, all right, demons, be gone, and the guy acted normal, those around him would have been like, okay, well, that was cool. I don't know what happened. Maybe the guy snapped back. You know, Jesus said the magic. Who knows? But it's coincidence. Instead, what happened? All right, go ahead into those pigs. Those pigs that were minding their own business, that would not normally, the only time I've seen pigs run is toward food. All right? Pigs don't normally just go, hey, let's go for a jog around the yard, do they? Mine don't. They run from you or they run toward food. When we first moved to the farm, I resembled the pigs a lot. Kind of the waddle. But anyway, when I run, anyway. But those pigs would not normally have done this. But thousands of pigs, all of a sudden, can you imagine the noise, the squeals, the oinks, the grunts, the sound of hooves just tearing up the ground, making a beeline toward the cliff, toward the lake, and running right out in the water and drowning. Do you think anybody looked at that and went, well, that was different? I'm pretty sure that after seeing that happen, everybody went, whoa. Those demons went to those pigs and the pigs killed themselves. There was no doubt what had just happened. What they had just witnessed. What they had seen. And there were more people than just the disciples there. Because remember, see, it mentions those people that feed the pigs were there. They saw it. And what did they immediately go do? They went and told everybody else. You know what we just saw? Come check this out. And when they got back, not only did the townspeople not see the pigs out there, they saw this man that, and I bet everybody knew this guy. Y'all don't know. Everybody knows the weird guy in town, right? Especially small towns and city. Everybody has one. You remember them from school. You know, they're great people. Just, you know, and not to be mean, but I was probably him. But, you know, it was all good. I'm sure everybody knew this guy. It's not like he was quiet about what was going on. But here they come out and they see this guy wrapped up in a robe sitting there having a polite conversation with this rabbi traveling with his men, this Jesus person. Now understand, here's a guy who went from homeless, clothless, insane, possessed, to in his right mind, clothed, talking to the Messiah, talking to the Savior. See, when you encounter Jesus, Jesus radically changed your life. That's number four. An encounter with Jesus radically changes your life. Let me say that again. An encounter with Jesus radically changes your life. Now, we all have testimonies. And I've told you, mine's not, you know, this is not my testimony. Thank God it was not my testimony. But guess what? I was just as lost, just as going to hell as this demon-possessed guy was. My life is radically different than it was before. But there should be a complete change in us. Who we are. How we act. How we engage other people. Because we've encountered the living God. We've encountered Jesus. There is a radical change that takes place within us. Scripture says that we become a new creature, a new creation. That's how different we are. We're not even the same as we once were. We're something new, something different, something redeemed, something restored, something born again. Number five, Jesus' presence makes those who don't know Him nervous. And we've talked about this before. Darkness doesn't like light, does it? Good people don't like bad people. Nice people don't like mean people. But when Jesus is there, people get nervous. I was talking with my daughter the other day, who's now out driving on her own. We pray a lot more now. She's a good driver, but, you know. She was telling me how she's sitting there and a police officer pulls in behind her in the turn lane. And we've all experienced. I mean, you're sitting still. You're not doing anything, right? But you see that police car pull up behind you with the lights on it. What's your first reaction? Right? Am I the only one? No, right? And you like, the light turns green. You're going, all right, I'm going to count to three. One, two, and you go slow. And you did that. I got my blinker on, right? Yeah, you're making sure everything's right, aren't you? And there's nothing worse than cruising up 75 with the flow of traffic, right? And all of a sudden, you're just like, ah, having a good time, listening to the radio, and you look up, and here comes that state trooper from Georgia. You flip on your blinker and go, please, God, please, God, please, God, and you get over, and you just go, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, right? We all do that. Man, when God is moving, when God's presence is there, sometimes we have the same reaction with Him. Why? Because the presence of a holy God, a perfect God, just shines light on every flaw we have, everything we do wrong, every sin in our life. It just magnifies it for us. Not that He does. Understand that. Jesus doesn't come in and go, I see that. Let me tell you that. You're not that. We look at ourselves and see it in the reflection of Him. We look back and see ourselves going, no, that's not right at all. It's fun because we shop online now so much, you know. And I'm still not quite there 100% because you want to, yeah, I like to go in, put stuff on. Not that it helps with my choices. I have to take somebody with me to tell me if it's good or not when I put on clothes. I have no fashion sense, but it's okay. You know, but you see the picture maybe of like the outfit, you know, if you ever, you know, Men's Warehouse, I love, they do that. And that's where they put mannequins up, even in the store back in the day. Remember you go see the mannequin, it's got the nice pants and the shirt and you're like, oh, I want to look just like that. I can do that. You grab that whole outfit, you go in the dressing room, I look nothing like that mannequin. None of those mannequins look like me. I don't think I had that much plastic. But none of those mannequins look like me. And that's the reality. I mean, we walk around and we're going, we are good Christians. Yeah, we got this Jesus thing down. And then Jesus is standing there and we're going, I don't look anything like that. I'm not there. And it's not Jesus. Like I said, Jesus is not going, no, no, not even close, buddy. He's like, you know what? I love you. I got you. Let's keep going. But if you don't know Him, and it's funny how the demons were scared Jesus was going to torment them. I read nowhere in Scripture where Jesus or God actually like torments anyone. Now, they're sentenced to the abyss, they're sentenced to hell, which is eternal, you could call it torment, punishment. But it's not like what we think. It's not like that old movie dungeon, you know, with the stretch rack and all that other stuff. And so the word torment is there and is part of their punishment. But it's not like Jesus is sitting there with a stick and just like whacking the demon or anything. You know what I mean? And beyond that, you've got the people who come out. Jesus has done a major thing here. Shouldn't have there been joy? Shouldn't have everybody been celebrating the fact that this person was delivered? This person was acting normal again? I tell you what, sometimes encountering Jesus actually shows us where our real priorities too are also, aren't they? There's been two examples I know of where Jesus cast out demons. One was a girl who was fortune-telling, and the people that had her, the slave girl, got mad because they lost their money because she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. And then now we've got people that are mad because all their pigs have run over the cliff instead of rejoicing human beings have been delivered from thousands of demons. Sometimes that almighty dollar screams a little bit louder than God does for people, doesn't it? Jesus' presence makes those who don't know him nervous. And I tell people this all the time. When we're out witnessing, we're out sharing the gospel with Jesus, and people don't want to hear it, they get combative. It's not us. It's Jesus in us. That's the problem they have. They don't have the problem with us per se. They have the problem with the God we serve, the Jesus we love. And he'll deal with that. We don't have to. But number six, we must tell everyone what Jesus has done for us. This guy was ready to go with Jesus. You have delivered me. Let me go. Jesus says, no, I want you to return to your own place. Go home. Tell what great things God has done for you. Go be a witness. And look, the guy didn't just go home and find one person and go, psst, let me tell you what happened. Did he? Very last verse says, and he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Can you imagine having thousands of demons within you? All of a sudden, they're all gone. The doors are locked. They can't come back. You've been filled with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and you are now out. Would you not be shouting from the rooftops? Would you not be going door to door going, hey, remember me? I was the crazy guy in the tombs. Guess what? Jesus healed me. But guess what? The same thing has happened to all of us. Now, you may not have had a demon, I hope. But we can go door to door and go, hey, guess what? I was dead, now I'm alive. Jesus has saved me. He's rescued me. I was going to hell. Now I'm not. I was lost. I've been found. Isn't it great? Come with me. I'll show you the way. Are people going to look at you funny? Yeah. Guess what? It don't matter. I often use the example, if we had discovered the cure for cancer, you'd basically have two choices with it. I mean, every cancer, it didn't matter. You'd basically have two choices. You could take that cure, try to develop it and monetize it and become as rich as you possibly could. Or, if you're like most of us and ever encountered the loss or the suffering of somebody who's dealt with cancer, chances are what you would do is you would go show it and tell it to everybody and give it away as best you can to save as many people as you could, would you not? See, the difference is the encounter. If you've lost somebody to cancer and you had the cure for it now, wouldn't you go find everybody so they didn't have to suffer the same thing? Guess what? Everybody's lost and going to hell. Guess what? We have the cure. We have the answer. Why don't we go share it with everybody? We've had the encounter. We've met Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you are a God who encounters us where we are, that reaches out and delivers us from our sin, from our afflictions, from those things that keep us down and hold us back. Jesus, we thank you that you just love us more than we could ever imagine. God, forgive us where we failed. Give us the power, the desire, the passion to share with this world what you have done for us. Let us go throughout the whole city telling everyone, look, I've been found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Let me show you Jesus. Jesus, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this service. Jesus, this is your name we pray.